guess you'll reveal it if you want.
I call this meeting of House Finance to order. It is Tuesday, March 21st at 1 p.m. Present today, we have Representative Josephson Hannon, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Stapp, Representative Colomb, Representative Cortez, Representative Kronk, Representative Tomaszewski, Co-Chair Edgman, Co-Chair Foster, and myself, Co-Chair Johnson. Assisting us today, we have our LIO moderator, Emma Turner. Thank you, Emma. And our committee secretary, Leah Frazier. Today is the day that we hear, one of the days that we hear public testimony on the operating and mental health budgets, and we will be taking testimony until approximately 3:30 p.m. We will be taking testimony from the communities of Sitka, Valdez, Wrangell, Homer, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Seward, and Tok. If someone happens to be off net, that is not on our schedule for today, but I will try to fit people in if we have extra space with priorities going to the previously mentioned communities. Although I have a different set of that's back on the record. I'll go ahead and I'm just going to read off the list of communities that we have before us on our agenda. The communities that we will be hearing testimony from today: Sitka, Petersburg, Dillingham, Glen Allen, Valdez, Wrangell, Homer, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Seward, and Tok. We will be hearing testimony from those persons that have called in. Testifiers can continue to access the meeting on your computer through the akledge.gov and click on the Live Now button. You could also, if you're in the audience and you would like to come forward and present testimony, there is a sign-up sheet that's available in the back that you can sign into and come forward. You may also provide written testimony that you submit to the House Finance Committee at house.finance@akledge.gov. Emails will be accepted through 5 p.m. Thursday, March 23 of 2023. The process here, I will go to the list of people that have called in, and we will try to make this as coordinated as possible. We will take up the testimony that we have. I'll be very strict with the 2-minute time limit. I will give people 10 seconds notice that their 2 minutes is coming. So at 1 minute and 50 seconds, I'll let people know that there are 10 seconds left to wrap up. At 2 minutes, I will ask each person that's giving testimony to stop. I will ask committee members if they have questions, and then we will move on to our next testifier. So, reminder, please restrict your comments to 2 minutes, and I will give you a 10-second warning. The other thing of note that I wanted to let folks know, if we get to the end of our list, I will stagger this in 15-minute sections. So if we get to the end, we'll probably take a break for a few minutes and come back on at the quarter hour or half hour or so on. We'll see how that goes. It looks like for a while that we have plenty of people that are signed up. We will be taking testimony on both the operating budget and the mental health budget. So public testimony is now open. Our first person online, we have Carrie Sagel from the Early Childhood Coalition and Child Care Now. Carrie, can you hear me? If you would, go ahead and put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony.
Hello, my name is Carrie Sagel, calling on behalf of the Early Childhood Coalition and Child Care Now here in Sitka. I was recently at a meeting in Sitka where an agency person reported that they had a qualified candidate for a position needed in Sitka, but that candidate could not take the position due to lack of child care. The position remains open and services to families are not being provided. It is for that reason that I am testifying and asking for an increase or maintenance in funding for early childhood, especially budget items that concern child care, services to children, and early childhood education. Sitka is in crisis. Families do not have access to reliable, affordable child care. They have to take off work when a child care director is sick and the facility closed. They have to turn down employment due to lack of child care. They join wait lists before their children are born with little chance that their children will have child care as infants or toddlers. And then they're in an income trap. Either they have no job or they have to pay too much for any child care that they get. It impacts the city and agencies. Positions are open, services unavailable, hours are cut, increased training costs with rotating staff, and reduced capacity. Schools see an increase in children with learning needs, and therefore I'm asking that the budget include increases for funding in early childhood education. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sagel. Does anyone on the committee have a question? Any questions for our caller? Seeing no one, thank you so much for your testimony. Our next person up, we have Rowena Palomar from Valdez Advocates for Victims of Violence. And Ms. Palomar, can you hear me? If you would like, please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you for this opportunity to testify today. For the record, I am Rowena Palomar from Advocates for Victims of Violence in Valdez. I am here to testify in favor of the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault budget in the Department of Public Safety. Currently in the budget is an amount of $3 million from a one-time increment of the general fund and $3.5 million federal appropriations through a request from Senator Murkowski. Without this one-time increment, services for victims would be $6.5 million short from the previous funding years. I support this funding and, if possible, adding this funding to the base of CDBSA. As we all know, the cost of operating a shelter became very expensive due to inflation. The cost of electricity, fuel, and food all went up. At AVV, our utilities from $2,998 a month is now $4,497. The cost of food from last year is $2,412 a month. This time, it's $3,500. These are just a few costs associated with the shelter. In fiscal year 21, AVV provided 595 shelter nights in Valdez and our coverage area. At the beginning of this fiscal year, July 1st to this day, AVV have already provided 602 shelter nights, and we are just halfway through the fiscal year. Providing a safe place to stay is just one of the services that AVV provides to the victims and survivors. Stable funding will help us continue to provide these critical services. As we all know, providing services to victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse, and other interpersonal violence is a necessary...
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Palomar. Does anyone here on the committee have any questions? Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate your testimony. Next, we have Kathy Morgan from the Toke Community Library. Ms. Morgan, can you hear me? If you will, please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Hello, my name is Kathy Morgan, and I live in Tok. Thank you for letting me testify today. I'm the director of the Tok Community Library, and I'm testifying to urge you to restore the $402,700 you have proposed cutting from the budget for the Alaska State Library. That money would be taken from the Public Library Assistance Grant, which our library depends on for a significant portion of our annual operating expenses. We serve the communities of Tok and Tanacross, as well as tourists and Alaskans traveling through Tok on their way to other destinations. Volunteers currently keep the library open 31 hours a week, and we are open for several hours each day, 7 days a week. In the past, this grant program has been our single largest source of income. If it is fully funded, our library will receive $7,000. With the proposed cut, we likely would receive only $2,300, which would really have an adverse effect on our library. One of the grant requirements is that we spend at least $3,500 on collection development, such as new books and movies, etc. Clearly, $2,300 doesn't even cover that. Like several other libraries in the state, our library is entirely volunteer-operated. All of the money we receive goes to our program. We use it to buy books, heat, light, and insure the building, provide SEPA-compliant filtered internet and computer access to travelers and community members who do not have this access at home, and pay for our electronic catalog and checkout system. Tok is a community in the unincorporated borough, so there is no local government to collect taxes to help pay for library services. Losing $4,700 income would likely drop our income below the minimal bare bones expenses to operate. Fortunately, we do have some small savings we can dip into, but that is not sustainable for very long. On a related note, I would also like to urge you to fund the $635,000 in additional spending for SLED databases and the Alaska Library.
Thank you for your testimony. Does any members of our committee have any questions? Yes, Representative Kronk.
Thank you, Co-Chair. I just want to thank Ms. Morgan for testifying today. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Morgan? Thank you very much, Ms. Morgan, for your testimony.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hannon.
Could you just remind people online that they could submit written testimony in case they had additional statements they wanted to read with us?
I can do that, yes.
Thank you.
So we have persons from our LIO, those were actually, first we want to, actually should be taking our LIO persons, so my apologies to anyone that's been waiting at the LIO. We have Scott Arndt, who is at the Kodiak LIO. Mr. Arndt, can you hear me? And if you do, would you please put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony?
Yes, I can hear you. My name is Scott Arndt, current member of the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly. Speaking for myself, our concerns, some of our concerns are, one, recapitalization of the Community Assistance Fund, continued school debt bond reimbursement, and please raise the base student allocation, as local governments are picking up more and more of the difference on education funding because schools have experienced flat funding from the state for years and are facing significant budget deficits. And then lastly, of course, the Alaska Marine Highway System support is very important to Kodiak and all of the outlying areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arndt. Is there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. Next up, we have Pat Case at the Homer LIO. Associated with the Independent Living Center. Pat, Ms. Case, can you, or Pat Case, can you, if you can hear me, please put yourself on the record and you can begin your two-minute public testimony.
State your name.
Okay. My name is Pat Case, and I'm a resident of Homer. I'm here to support the Independent Living Center of the Peninsula, and I'm wanting to support the restoration of the funds for the community SDS grant, community grant system. I am 90% blind, and I am a client of the ILC, which is an advocacy group that seeks to keep people independent and living in their own homes and active community members. And I can tell you that they administer many of these grants, and it enables them to help our community in a way that is unique to our community. And without them, we would not be whole. We would, the disabled people of Homer would not have the kind of independence that allows us to be active community members, which is valuable. And I know all of you wish that for your communities. And I want to thank you for passing this, $1.5 million, last year. And I want to thank the governor for his $1.5 million increment that he has proposed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And do we have any members of the committee with questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Case, for your public testimony. Next, we, one moment, I'd like to take a brief of these to for clarification. Brief of these. House Finance back on the record. Do we have members of the audience that are here for to provide public testimony? All right, seeing no one come forward, a reminder that if anyone has additional comments that they would like to make in a written form, that they are, we would welcome those to be sent to us at house.finance@akledge.gov. Moving forward, we're going to go ahead and take some off-net callers that are calling in from the communities that are listed. Our first person is Marilyn Castile from Dillingham, affiliated with SAFE. Ms. Castile, can you hear me? And if you can, would you please put yourself on the record and begin your public two-minute public testimony?
My name is Marilyn Castile, and I work for a Safe and Fear-Free Environment as the Executive Director in Dillingham. Today, I'll be testifying for the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Budget in the Department of Public Safety, specifically speaking for services for victims. I would like to thank the House Finance Committee for recognizing victim services as part of our response to crime in Alaska and also accepting public testimony on the operating budget. I would also like to thank Representative Bryce Edgman for his support and acknowledgement of the services as a rural provider. Currently in this budget, there is an amount of $3 million from a one-time increment of general funds and $3.5 million federal appropriation through a request from Senator Murkowski. With these one-time increments, services for victims in rural Alaska would be $6.5 million short from the previous year's funding. We support this funding. In Dillingham, we have seen our food prices double and triple. For Safe's budget, I had to do a budget adjustment for our shelter. We had to increase our food budget an additional $20,000 just to make it to the end of the fiscal year for our facility. Then to add, Safe receives at least 1 to 2 phone calls per week from our clients asking for help to purchase food. We do have a food bank here, but families are only allowed one-time food box per month. We are trying to do the best we can, and sometimes that is not enough. There are just a few challenges that we face in rural Alaska. This is in your hands and your decisions to make our clients as we move forward in the coming year, as we know that our clients, your constituents, need your help now. Thank you.
Thank you for your public testimony. Is there any members of our committee that would have questions? Seeing none, thank you so much for your public testimony. Our next person that we have up is Jeff Good, the City and Borough Manager of Wrangell. Mr. Good, if you can hear me, please put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony.
Hello, my name is Jeff Good. I'm the City Manager or Borough Manager for the City and Borough of Wrangell. And just kind of want to address three topics. The first is offering our support as well for the Alaska Marine Ferry System. Alaska Marine Ferry is critical for us down in Southeast Alaska and any of the coastal communities. It's kind of our lifeline for all of us. So definitely request funding for that. The next thing is for our schools and to make sure that they're funded. The funding from the state hasn't been keeping up with inflation over the last years, and that directly impacts our budget because we're making up that difference in inflation. So request that funding be increased at least to inflation levels to be able to help us out at the local community level. And then the last thing is with the 301H waivers that is now coming down from DEC to the affected communities, it's a huge financial strain that's going to be coming down with the change in those new requirements and the mixing zones. So just some requests for some financial support in that other than loans. Most of our communities are already kind of stretched thin as far as trying to take additional loans to meet the needs for local projects. So just a request for financial aid to help meet the requirements of the new 301H waiver. And that was all I had. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone in the audience or in the on the committee that would like to have any questions?
Sure.
Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, Mr. Good, are you still with us?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that question. It was
so this is Andy Josephson, and I have some memory of Commissioner Brune talking about 301H waivers, but can you give us a very elementary description of what they are again and why Wrangell is having to pick up some costs?
Yes, sir. So EPA basically gives what's called a 401 permit to operate wastewater systems. And then DEC then issues a 301H waiver if you have anything that's outside of what's considered the standard. Based off of what it was in the past with the 301H waiver, it was based off the mixing zone that we had for our community. And over the past year, they've kind of changed what that mixing zone requirement is. And I think it's around 7 or 8 communities that's going to be impacted. The big one is going to be Anchorage down the road, and I'm not sure what that's going to look like. But for the local communities, that means we have to then build a new facility that for us is probably going to be disinfection. For us, and again, a smaller community, that's going to be probably in the ballpark of $3 to $5 million.
Thank you,
Mr. Good. We appreciate. We have one more question from Representative Ortiz.
Just thanks, Jeff, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to call in and letting us know about the needs for Wrangell. Appreciate your efforts today.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Good. Next up, we have Sarah Keller. representing herself from Fairbanks. Ms. Keller, if you can hear us, please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify to you. I am Sarah Keller, and I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm coming up on my 45th Alaska anniversary, so I've seen a lot of changes here in this town. And one of the things that I'm most passionate about in Fairbanks and in the interior part of Alaska is public broadcasting, and I'm calling to request for funding of public broadcasting to levels prior to 2019 at the level of $2.7 million. And I know that sounds like a lot of money, but if you pause to give it a think that public broadcasting across the state in Southeast Alaska, in the Anchorage Bowl area, and in the interior communities that include as far apart as Nome and Tok, and far north as Bettles, we get the voice of public broadcasting that gives out information that's critical to public safety in emergency circumstances, such as when the big storm Murbach came through. Public broadcasting continued on through Nome. It was absolutely amazing, and we're so proud of that. Public broadcasting also gives that information on public health notifications and helps keep people safe, not only within their communities, but also have information so that Alaskans can safely hunt and fish in order to feed their families and maintain their Alaskan way of life. Communities that have public broadcasting are able to broadcast school board meetings, borough assembly meetings, and other meetings that allow community involvement without crowding a public forum. We're all able to best keep in touch that way. And there's educational program, of course, that helps all Alaskans learn the skills and abilities they need to survive and thrive in Alaska. There's so many important fundamental benefits of public broadcasting to the entire state. I hope that you will indeed help
thank
support
you.
Public broadcasting.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Kis. We are at the end of our 2 minutes. Do we have anyone that would like to ask any questions? Seeing none from the committee, we appreciate your public testimony. Next up, we have Penny Lample from the Kodiak Women's Resource Crisis Center in Kodiak. Ms. Lample, if you can hear me, would you please put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony?
Hi, this is Penny Lample, and I am the shelter coordinator for the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center here in Kodiak, Alaska. I would first like to thank everyone for the hard work that they are doing on the working on the finance budgets. These budgets are very important to us, and it's very important to fund the work that we do. Here in Kodiak, we're the only safe place for our community and our six surrounding villages for people experiencing and or fleeing from domestic violence and sexual assault. We need to be fully funded so we are trained and able to work with the trauma and the mental health issues that come with that. We really appreciate everybody's time working on these budgets. Our heating costs, our food costs, as well as everyone else in the state of Alaska, everything has gone up tremendously. And I just want to thank all of the committees. I want to thank our governors and senators for working as hard as they are on HB 39 and HB 41. We really depend on this. So I want to thank everyone.
Thank you so much for your public testimony. We appreciate that. Is there anyone here in the room that would like to ask any questions? I see none. Thank you so much. Next we have, well, listen, I'm going to try with your name, so just help me out and jump in. Sena Grabak. Teo.
Sena Gubatayo.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon. Sena Gubatayo, Assistant Borough Manager, Ketchikan Gateway Borough. I'd like to address two areas of the budget. First, consistent stable funding for the Marine Highway System is crucial to our community. With our heavy seasonal reliance on workers for the lower 48, the AMHS has been a critical part of bringing workers to Ketchikan along with their equipment, belongings, and vehicles. We have felt every impact of the marine highway system's staff shortages, vessel breakdowns, and canceled sailings, and travelers are left with the sense that even confirmed bookings are uncertain. We appreciate the steady proposed funding for the coming fiscal year and support funding to allow the Prince Rupert runs to resume and be maintained. And then second, school funding. The Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District is one of many districts struggling under the weight of rising costs of every source and origin. The FY22-23 period has been especially difficult. While one-time funding is received gratefully, consistency is essential to deliver good programs and content year to year. To the extent that any amount can be added to the BSA, it will be funding that will be reliable and assured in a manner that will allow programs to be built around the expected funding. And when we speak about education funding, the whole package includes school bond debt reimbursement and major maintenance grants as well. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for your public testimony. And seeing no questions from the committee, thank you. We are moving on to Robbie Mixon, Director of the Alaska Food Policy Council from Homer.
Hi, my name is Robbie Mixon. I'm the Director of the Food Policy Council, but also the Alaska Farmers Market Association and member of the Alaska Food Coalition, and I'm calling in from Homer. Thank you, Co-Chair Johnson, for the opportunity to testify today on the operating budget. I'm calling in support of the appropriations for technology upgrades, as well as for our staff and IT workers at the Department of Health to address the SNAP backlog. So the inclusion of funding to upgrade this super old technology in the database system and also to hire more staff will help us get through the backlog and hopefully prevent it from happening again. So in Homer and Anchor Point, we've seen a huge increase in the demand for food pantry assistance. There's folks that have been waiting over 6 months to have their SNAP applications approved, and this has been a big impact on our food access organization. So by addressing the backlog, we'll help folks have better access to food and also help keep our rural grocers open that depend on these SNAP dollars. So I'm just calling to encourage the Department of Health and the legislators to also consider some long-term efforts to streamline and improve SNAP, like broad-based categorical eligibility, which not only helps people get food easier, but also will provide big cost savings and efficiencies to the state. And finally, I'd like to thank the Department of Health and Governor Dunleavy for the immediate relief in funding almost $1.7 million to help fill the gap in between getting the SNAP backlog fixed. So thanks so much for your time and allowing me to testify.
Thank you so much, Ms. Mixon. Is there anyone here on the committee? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for your public testimony. Next, we have Natalie Wojcik, Sitkins Against Family Violence. If you would, please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Natalie Wojcik. I'm from Sitka, Alaska, and I'm representing Sitkins Against Family Violence, a domestic violence and sexual assault advocacy and prevention agency. And I'm testifying in favor of the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault budget and the Department of Public Safety specific to services for victims. First, I want to express my support for the one-time increment of $3 million from general funds and $3.5 million through Senator Murkowski through federal appropriations. However, I also want to highlight that the cost for services, shelter, and programs is increasing, as others have stated. Our starting wages make it very difficult to compete with other employers in Sitka. Additionally, our food costs and utility costs are increasing. 6 years ago, our utilities annually were $7,000 less than they are today. We are grateful for the support of the legislator to mend our gap and hope that additional funds can be found to allow for the increase of cost we are experiencing and that we need to pay staff based on the cost of living in our community. SAFE is currently the only emergency shelter in Sitka. Last year, we housed 65 individuals for a total of 3,254 bed nights, and we provided services to 145 individuals. Our shelter remained open during the whole pandemic, and our numbers are now climbing. We've begun using our conference room and one of our living rooms for overflow. And due to the housing crisis in Sitka, our residents have very few options for permanent housing and have taken upwards of 1.5 years to find permanent housing. So it makes the need for our shelter and our agency even more necessary in Sitka. Additionally, I just wanted to express the importance of primary prevention work in our state. SAFE and others in the state have been partaking in it for many years. In 2008, SAFE started the Pathways Coalition to a Safer Sitka and envisioned Sitka as an equitable community where we can hold each other up to reach our individual and collective full potentials. This upstream work aims at creating a community where violence cannot occur. While we still need resources for those in crisis and in need of services, we also work towards building a community where these services will be less needed in the future and funding is needed for that. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. We do have one question. Representative Galvin.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony, Natalie. I just wanted to, you said some things quite quickly, and I want to make sure that I heard you properly. Did you say that you're using your conference rooms for people to sleep in?
Yes. This past few months, we've become so overcrowded, we're using a conference room and one of the residents' living rooms for sleeping spaces.
A follow-up, if I may?
Follow-up, Representative Galvin.
And then I think at the beginning you mentioned that you're in a facility against family violence. So does that mean that you have children also staying in these in these conference rooms? And did I also hear you say that they're living there up to a year and a half?
Yes, we do have children in our facility, but we prioritize the more comfortable family rooms for children. So it's the people in the conference rooms are single women.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I would like to remind folks, we do have thank you for your public testimony. We do appreciate you calling in. I just wanted to remind folks that we do have public testimony today for communities of Sitka, Petersburg, Gillingham, Glen Allen, Valdez, Wrangell, Homer, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Seward, and Tok, and maybe communities that are close to those areas. If you would like to provide written testimony, you may submit that to House Finance Committee at house.finance@akaledge.gov, which emails will be accepted through 5 p.m. Thursday on March 23rd, 2023. And you can continue to access this meeting on your computer through the akledge.gov and click on the Live Now button. I'm going to go ahead and we have an off-net caller from Eagle River. Ann Millard, if you are online and would like to speak, I don't know that this is the Eagle River that is close to, I don't know, maybe there's another Eagle River or that you're from one of these communities. So feel free to go ahead and put yourself on the record.
My name is Ann Millard, and I am calling from Fairbanks, where I am a snowbird from Eagle. Eagle is on the Yukon River. It is not Eagle River. It is Eagle on the Yukon River. And while I'm in Fairbanks, during the winter, public media is important to me. But when I am in Eagle during the summer and sometimes during the winter, it is critical to me. I am calling in support of including funding for public media in House Bill 39. In Eagle, we are on the arcs, but because my husband and I have a cabin that's between Eagle Village and the city of Eagle, we do not get the signal from the arcs at the school. We do not have cell phone service in Eagle. We do have a new internet service, but out of the last 2 weeks, I think it was operational 5 days. So the only source of public information, of safety information and information for about weather and conditions in the interior is our translator station for KUAC radio, and there we get morning broadcasts for of the news from the local, we're close to Tok. We're 160 miles from Tok. So I guess we're close to Tok. But it's critical for us to have this information and public funding for public broadcasting is very important to us. You should know that I'm a sustaining member of KUAC, so we're trying to do our part, but we really need the legislature's part to help us fund public broadcasting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Millard. And now it says Eagle instead of Eagle River, so we got that fixed.
No, it's Eagle, not Eagle River.
All right, do we have any comments or questions for the committee? Representative Cronk.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to thank Ms. Millard for calling in and letting us know what you feel. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in and giving your public testimony.
Thank you.
One moment here. Next up, we have John Zacharias, a client from Southeast Alaska Independent Living, calling in from Ketchikan. Mr. Zach.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. If you would like, please put your name on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
All right. My name is John Zacharias. I'm a client of Southeast Alaska Independent Living in Ketchikan, Alaska. They're better known as SAIL. I'm bipolar, and I needed help when I first moved to Ketchikan 2 years ago. The services available for disabled folks are hard to access, and frankly, they're hard to find. I was lucky. I found SAIL. They were able to plug me into the resources available for me. I was able to get a bus pass, gym pass, and laptop. They got me clothes and various household items. I was able to finish my college degree, get a job, and be a vital Ketchikan citizen. Last year, SAIL received a $1.5 million increment for SDS. Thank you. Because of that, people like myself are able to access hard-to-find services. I implore you, please make sure that SAIL gets at least the same amount of funding as last year. They put that money to great use, helping people like myself become contributing members of our cities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zacharias. Is there anyone on the committee that has any questions? Seeing none, we do appreciate your public testimony. Thank you. Next up, we have Patrick Reinhart, Governor's Council on Disability and Special Education from Homer. Mr. Reinhart, if you would like to put your name on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Patrick Reinhart. I'm the Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. I live in Homer, Alaska. We were down there a few weeks ago, talked about some of the issues I'm going to mention here real quick, and then I also sent the email with the issues of concern. So if I don't get through them all, I know you'll have them. The first one is we've asked for the state to develop a centralized accommodation fund for employees with disabilities. It's something that most large governments and large businesses do to take the myth away that people with disabilities are expensive employees to hire. We don't want hiring managers to think that, so if there's a centralized accommodation fund of $100,000, we think it would cover the state's needs. If it doesn't get in the operating budget, this is an item that could be a capital item, but it could go either place. The second item is last year was a big year in terms of the IDD, developmental disabilities waitlist eradication plan that the legislature asked for, the previous legislature asked for. The Senior Disability Services with the state of Alaska developed a plan, and there are two items related to that plan that we'd like to see in the FY24 budget. The first one is $647,800 for the state Senior Disability Services to hire the folks and contract with the folks necessary to develop a better consumer assessment tool that could be also used for this whole idea of self-directed waivers in the future. It's called the Interi. We think that that's a good plan for the state to continue. But their plan also calls for, in the first year of this five-year waitlist eradication plan, just over $16 million of Medicaid waiver funding about $6.4 million in the general fund, and the rest would be federal. And then the other items, if that's it, Madam Chair, we sent via email.
Right. Thank you so much for your public testimony. Seeing no questions from the committee.
Madam Chair.
Maybe perhaps there is a question from the committee.
Are there a lot of people? I don't want to.
We have four more people listed.
Great.
Yes.
Through the chair for Mr. Reinhardt. Mr. Reinhardt, I know I've heard about the Inter-I program, $647,000. You said hire and contract to build better consumers something. Can you repeat what you said just on the Inter-I?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, our understanding that is to replace the old 1980s-based ICAP, which is a consumer assessment tool that kind of defines what service needs that individuals with disabilities need. And this new one is a much more highly developed tool that would be utilized and could really kind of spell out more specific details on their people's needs and therefore possibly save money in terms of being able to identify exact needs that they need.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your public testimony. Next up, we have Erica Clud Painter, and then on deck we will will be speaking for herself from Petersburg, and then on deck we will have Tyler McNeil from Community Connections from Ketchikan. So, Ms. Clud Painter, if you can hear me, please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Okay, thank you. For the record, my name is Erica Clut Painter, and I am the superintendent of the Petersburg School District. I am also a proud parent of two Petersburg High School graduates and have served the Petersburg School District as a principal and superintendent since 2001. My commitment to public education in this community and in the state of Alaska is clear and unequivocal. Thank you for your continued work and advocacy on behalf of Alaska students. I'm calling in today in support of an operating budget that fully funds public education, referencing House Bill 39 and also House Bill 65 with a BSA increase of $1,250. The education budget in Alaska has been unstable for years. The BSA has only been increased by $30 since 2016, and the impact of inflation during that time has created a significant loss of purchasing power for school districts. This instability has resulted in inadequate resources, underfunded programs, and limited opportunities for teachers and students alike. This, in turn, has led to a decline in the quality of education in Alaska, and the state has fallen behind in terms of educational outcomes and student achievement. In order to foster excellence in our schools, the state needs to make a larger investment in education now. Stable, predictable funding is necessary to ensure districts can attract and retain high-quality educators. Reliable funding is a key to improving student outcomes by stabilizing schools and reducing educator turnover. After years of conservative budgeting and strategic reductions, our school district is facing a $1 million budget deficit. There is no more fat to trim. Next steps will be increased class sizes and reduced programs and learning opportunities for students. In addition, as we prepare to meet the requirements of the Reeves Act, the current operating budget is not adequate to support successful implementation of this large initiative.
This is your 5-second warning.
It's a priority. We all need to be on the same page. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And thank you. I'm seeing no questions from the committee. Next up, we have Tyler McNeil from Ketchikan. Would you please go ahead and put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony?
Hi, this is Tyler McNeil. I'm the program director at Community Connections. I oversee our home and community-based services program. And I'm calling in to advocate for the increased rates needed to sustain the home and community-based service program. These services are absolutely essential to be able to keep people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in their homes and in their communities in which they live and come from. So I'm calling from Ketchikan, and we support folks here to be able to live independently in their own homes, in their places of employment, and to be fully integrated active participants in their community. And the rates have been sorely neglected over the last 12 years and have fallen far behind what it costs to be able to continue doing business. And we need to see a rate, the rates addressed and increased in such a way that can be sustainable to continue providing these very important and valuable services into the future. So steps have been taken in the right direction, but much more is needed in terms of the rate increases to become sustainable. There's several service providing agencies that have gone out of business in the last several years, and many more that are operating in deficit budgets, including ourselves. So we're looking to see the rates be addressed, and also for the $647,800 necessary to address the IDD wait list and to see that eliminated over the next 5 years.
Thank you so much. I'm looking to see if we have a, do we have a question from Representative Ortiz?
Just want to say thank you, Tyler, for taking the time to call in today and representing the interests of Community Connections. And again, appreciate the effort. And thank you.
All right.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Is Mr. McNeil still with us?
Brief at ease. Just let me. Hands back on the record. Mr. Tyler McNeil, are you still on the phone?
Hi, yeah, we're here. Are you ready to hear from Jennifer Jackson?
I have a question.
We do have a question from one of the representatives here in the room for you, and then we can take another person. Go ahead, Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, Mr. McNeil, you mentioned $647,800 for the IDD waitlist. Prior to you, two persons prior, there was the exact same figure for the Inter-I program. I guess my question is, I don't know if he's a deputy commissioner, but there was a report prepared on how to pare down the IDD waitlist. And the state prepared that report, and it said, it hasn't appropriated to that report, but it said that we would need $7 million in the coming year as the first tranche. And I guess I'm just confused about your figure relative to this $7 million figure to work on paring down the individuals with developmental disabilities waitlist.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are. We can hear you.
Sorry, I was kind of trying to make sure I could get everything in the time. And so my understanding is that the $647,800 is allotted to help begin with the restructure to take the steps and build the infrastructure and consulting, which would include, from my understanding, the Inter-I and a consultant and some additional administrative support at Senior and Disability Services. to be able to take next steps in enacting and moving towards the intellectual and developmental disability waiver wait list. That's my understanding, or what I would be advocating for, is that the funding be put in place to ensure that next steps towards the elimination of the intellectual and developmental disability wait list be taken, and that the inter-eye assessment tool be implemented to help with those steps.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Also, I do have Jennifer Jackson here in the room who was on the list to do public testimony. I just want to make sure you are aware of that.
Yes, yes, I am, and yes, we are ready for her public testimony. So, for next up, we have Jennifer Jackson, and that will be she will be followed by Alan Soren from Valdez. Jennifer Jackson, please put yourself on the record and begin your 2-minute public testimony.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jackson. I do receive community-based services through Community Connections, and they help with the job and the physical care that I need. I have some apologies. Please do not touch my services. I'm able to let me live on my own. I've been through 35 years before I got to come back home. And I'm very thankful for the community-based services so I can stay in my community.
So Jen was just saying that she was in a nursing facility up north, and that home and community-based services helped her to be able to move back to her hometown in Ketchikan and live in her own apartment and receive other supports, you know, at work and in the community.
And I'm up in my wheelchair after I wrote my own book.
She's also was Miss Wheelchair Alaska 2015, and she's published her own book, Little Raven's Tale.
Thank you so much for calling in, Jennifer. We do appreciate your public testimony.
Thank you.
Is there any questions from the committee? Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jennifer, thank you for your testimony. Tyler, are you able to tell us whether or not when Jennifer was able to be brought home to Ketchikan, did that end up, in the end, saving state expenditures from having her live in assisted living from wherever she was prior to coming back to Ketchikan?
I moved back in August 25th.
Jennifer, thank you for your testimony. Tyler?
Yeah, I heard the question, and so... generally speaking, it's my understanding that home and community-based services are significantly cheaper than any sort of nursing facility or institutional level of care facility. So absolutely, the supports that that meet Jennifer's needs in her home, her places of employment, and in her community are not only far cheaper than the nursing facility in which she was in, but also I would feel safe in saying have greatly, greatly improved her overall quality of life.
Yeah, because I was in my 20s when I lived in a nursing home. It was not very tough.
Did you guys catch that?
I did.
She said that she was in her 20s when she was placed in a nursing home, and it was not very fun, and essentially that she's happy to be in her own apartment in her home community.
Yes. I'm very happy.
Thank you so much for calling in, Jennifer and Tyler. We do appreciate your public testimony today. Next up, thank you. Next up, we have Alan Soren in Valdez, and next, following him, we will have Candace Worth from McGrath. Alan, if you would like to put yourself on the record.
This is Alan Soren in Valdez, and I would just like you to support funding of public radio. Our local station, KCHU, I think provides service to almost all the communities that you listed for the call. Glen Allen, McCarthy, Kennecott, Copper River Basin, Valdez, Whittier, Cordova, and Crater, Prince William Sound. So thank you for your service and appreciate the help.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate you calling in today. I see no questions from the committee. Next up, we have Candace Worch from McGrath, followed by John Anderson from Valdez. Candace, if you would please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, Candace?
All participants are muted.
Broadcasting Corporation. My name is Candace Warish. I'm with the Kuskokwim Public Broadcasting Corporation, KSKO Radio in McGrath, and I'm calling in support for public broadcasting. We service 7 villages with repeaters. We've been on the air since 1981. We are constantly providing emergency updates, pandemic information, weather information, snowfall amounts, voting information in different languages, when dog vaccines are available. We have subsistence regulation openings and closings announced. We hire locals and we have a student training program. We talk about water and sewage issues, deaths and services of members, even school menus, river ice depths, and we rely on the radio for pretty much everything, and there's no roads here, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and we rely on public radio. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I do not see any members of the committee with questions. We do appreciate you calling in today. Next up, we have John Anderson from Valdez, and he will be followed by Sonia Marks from the Dillingham Public Library in Dillingham. Mr. Anderson, if you would, please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
My name is John Anderson. I'm from Valdez, Alaska. I would like to see the state fund public radio. It's very important to us out here. The programming is well, second to none and kind of hard to get anywhere else. But other reasons, our little radio station, KCHU, handles the EAS alerts, the Amber alerts, which are tsunami alerts, avalanche alerts, et cetera, for quite a few communities in the area, including Valdez, Cordova, Whittier, Chenega Bay, Tutitlet, all around the Sound. And with all the things happening in the world today, I would feel a little better knowing those EAS alerts were continuing to come through. KCHU repeats the alerts, and I have confidence in them because they have their own generators. So if the power goes out, if we're wiped out, you know, by a tsunami and the power is out, they have their own generators, and hopefully the word will still be able to go out. You know, safety is number one. Thank you for your time. I want to see you guys send some money public radio's way.
Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson. I see no questions from the committee. Moving on to our next caller will be Sonia Marks from the Dillingham Public Library, followed by Herman Morgan from ANIAC. Sonia Marks, would you please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony?
Yes, this is Sonia Marks from Dillingham. I'm the librarian for the Dillingham Public Library, and for the last 14 years, I've been able to apply for the Public Library Assistance Grant that we are very much supportive of. Each year, we appreciate it being funded through the governor's, you know, proposed budget, and we just want to say that we would like that to continue to be funded in the full amount that in the past we've received $7,000 each year that go towards library materials for our public library, for books and audiovisuals and other things, including internet. And also we'd like to see that the funding for the SLED database and the Alaska Library Catalog be continued, because as a community of off the road system, our patrons come in and use the computers to access the SLED databases and other things there. So just want to be in support of that, that the money could be funded again in the governor's budget. Appreciate it. Restored.
Thank you so much for calling in today. Seeing no questions from the committee, we, our next person online will be Herman Morgan from ANIAC, followed by Michelle Chase from the Valdez Food Bank. Mr. Morgan, would you please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony?
Yeah, Madam Chair, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, my name is Herman Morgan. I'm calling from ANIAC. I'm calling. I'm one of the few people who are in so-called public testimony who doesn't have financial gain or is a client. And I'm one of the few people who say that you should cut funding to public radio stations that censor people like me. When I called, I said parents need a right, have a right to know that LGBT classes are being taught in their school, and they're censoring me, and they're censoring many other conservatives. You need to check on an even slander, one of your representatives. I could say this here because they say it on public radio. They said that David Eastman says it's better that native babies die. It's more economical. And they're usually, I called David, and lucky he had to read his email. You need to check all these public radio stations to make sure they're not being used as propaganda channels for a Democrat Party. And we need a full permanent fund out here. $3,800 would be like a $20,000 give them per family. They use for subsistence purposes. Their kids can put away for college. I'm afraid all our state agencies are being used against us. OCS, our schools, our schools. You need to demand accountability for all this money that's being spent. There's a bad thing happening with our schools. You guys really need to investigate it. It's a life and death situation where some students are even committing suicide out here, and because of what's going on, and it's very bad. You got to investigate what's going on in our schools and stop spending all this money. And
thank you. Would you please begin your 10-second wrap up?
Mom? Hello?
Yep, thank you. Thank you for that's it. You're at the end of your 2 minutes. Seeing no questions from the committee, thank you so much for calling in and giving your public testimony today. Next up, we have Michelle Chase from the Valdez Food Bank. Michelle, would you please put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony, 2 minute public testimony?
Hi, this is Michelle Chase. I'm calling representing the Valdez Food Bank in support of funding SNAP and providing immediate financial help for that program, the State Public Assistance Program. There's nothing more critical than people receiving food and emergency financial assistance when they need it. And our state systems are outdated. They need support for staffing and new policies to make things run more efficiently, and new equipment to provide people in the state with access to those important programs. So just calling in support of that.
Thank you. Let's see. Seeing no questions from the committee, we do appreciate your call-in for public testimony today. Next, we have Susan Kraft Anderson from Valdez. Susan, are you online? If you would, please put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Yes, I'm Susan Kraft Anderson, and I'm calling in support of public radio. At KCSU, which is the public radio station in Valdez, is extremely important to not only Valdez, but outlying communities where other radio stations do not reach. KCSU provides disaster information when needed, and obviously we've had a few of those in Alaska. So it's extremely important that KCSU and other public radio stations are allowed to remain on the air. So I'm just calling in support of funding for public radio. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call in for public testimony. I see no questions from our committee. That brings us to the end of our public testimony that is online. I don't know that if we have anyone that would like to testify here in the room, but seeing no one come forward, we're not having I don't know that we have anyone signed up. I'm not sure. Brief at ease. Hands back on the record. Brief at ease. House Finance back on the record. I'm going to go ahead and invite you to come forward, put your name on the record, and begin your public two-minute public testimony. Is this Dustin?
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to House Finance, Dustin.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Dustin Larna. I'm here today as a representative of residential youth care in Ketchikan, Alaska. We are a children's behavioral health agency, and we work with children and families in Ketchikan, not only from Ketchikan, but from all over the state. I appreciate the opportunity today to voice some support for funding behavioral health services. In Alaska, over the last several years, there's been an ongoing reduction to behavioral health grants. There's a lot of investment being put into the 1115 waiver, covering the needed supports and services through behavioral health. But grants do need to continue to be funded because this fills in the gaps where things fall short in the 1115 waiver. Another area that I'd like to voice support for is fully funding public education, including looking at that base allocation per student. One of the things we learned through the pandemic is how extremely valuable, well-funded, well-operating school is to youth and families in our communities, and I think that when budgets fall short and you look at cutting programs, you will see that if we don't invest in our schools, we'll need to have further investment down the road in other areas like behavioral health. Another line item I saw in the budget is looking at funding for the Office of Children's Services. And I think that there's a lot of effort that's occurring in at Office of Children's Services to improve the work that's happening. And so I think that if there's an opportunity to support requested funding there for programs that will help them develop their services, that that should be funded as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We do have a question in the room, Representative Josephson.
The Chair, Dustin, your last name again is what?
Larna. Okay. L-A-R-N-A.
And the follow-up?
Yes.
You said you're with the residential care something. I didn't hear.
I'm a representative of residential youth care, and we're a children's behavioral health provider in Ketchikan.
All right. And last, if I might?
Last.
Do you know the year-over-year reductions in behavioral health grants?
I could get that.
I can get it.
I came in today just to, like, see the process.
Yes.
And then as I'm sitting here, I'm like, I need to get up, but I'm not as prepared as I would like to be.
I'll get it. Thank you.
Representative Stapp.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the Chair to Dustin. Hey, just for the record, I don't know if you're aware, but the 1115 renewal is in progress this week, and there will be a mend to that renewal, and they will have a public comment period for that. So if there are services that you guys are aware of that you think might want to be amended in the renewal process, that would be something that you might want to take a look at.
I appreciate you bringing that up.
Thank you so much for your public testimony. We appreciate you coming forward and speaking to us in person today. So that was our last person that we have online or in the room. Just a reminder that we are hearing today from Sitka Valdez, Sitka Petersburg, Dillingham, Glen Allen, Valdez, Wrangell, Homer, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Seward, and Tok. The LIOs are open for public testimony. Testifiers, if you are online, you can access a meeting on your computer through akledge.gov and click on the Live Now button. If you would like to provide written testimony, you may submit that to House Finance Committee at house.finance@akledge.gov, akleg.gov. Emails will be accepted through 5 p.m. Thursday, March 23, 2023. We will be allowing persons to call in through 3 o'clock, through 3 o'clock p.m., so we will wait and see how many other persons call in for public testimony, and until that time, we will take a recess. So the House will recess pending the sign-up of additional persons from those various communities. So recessing till 3 p.m., House Finance Committee recessed. We are currently have five additional testifiers that have joined us. And we are taking testimony from Sitka, Petersburg, Dillingham, Glen Allen, Valdez, Wrangell, Homer, Ketchikan, Kodiak, Seward, and Tok. So we will be doing 2-minute public testimony. We have 5 new persons. Our first new person that has joined us is James Devins from Valdez, and he will be followed by Elaine Loomis Olson testifying from Kodiak. James Devins, if you can hear me, please put yourself on the record and begin a 2-minute public testimony.
You. All right, you
may begin. Yes, I can. You may begin.
I just called to say that it is absolutely imperative that monies be budgeted toward public media. Not only is public media at many times the only source of local news and information in small communities, it's also especially integral
as part of many communities' emergency planning. Public Media is the sole provider for emergency alerts to dozens of communities, especially in coastal and remote Alaska. And without state funding, the ability to provide those services is diminished. The public radio station in my community had 9 employees previously to the current administration, and because of the red line vetoes, today they have 2 employees. There's not really much more room for cutting, except for in the form of decreases in broadcast times or reduction of broadcast areas. They're on the air in more than a dozen remote communities throughout Alaska, national parks, remote sections of the highway, native villages, and across 40,000 square miles of heavily traversed waterways, bays, sounds, and ports. That's just the one public radio station in my area. In many of those areas, they provide the only access to weather warnings, urgent news, and emergency alerts. In 1964, my community and neighboring communities lost a huge number of people to the natural disasters that were a result of the Good Friday earthquake. The one thing that all of the communities most affected by that disaster had in common was that they did not receive adequate warning about the potential for tsunamis. Today, each of those communities are served by the emergency alerts that broadcast automatically across the airwaves of our public radio station. Without that service, there are lives at risk. Alaska is the only state that is not currently funding public media, and not only is it a matter of public interest to fund it, it is also a matter of public safety. And if we
thank you, you have 10 seconds. There, please begin your wrap up.
Not funding public media, I think that's a disservice to the citizens.
Thank you so much. And would you please put your name on the record?
James Devins.
James Devins, thank you for calling in. I do not see any questions from the committee, so we are moving on next to Elaine Loomis Olson, who is calling in from Kodiak. She will be followed by Bill Burr, who is the superintendent of the Wrangell Public Schools. Next up, Elaine Loomis Olson, would you please put your name on the record and begin your public testimony?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Elaine Loomis Olson. I am from Kodiak, and I'm representing myself as a parent of an adult daughter who struggles after sustaining a TBI in 2012 with mental illness that manifested and since then a drug addiction. I also am a care coordinator for vulnerable adults with intellectual differences, physical disabilities, and cognitive disorders. So this is, for me, an exciting day knowing you are meeting and reviewing the budget for programs that are desperately needed for the health and well-being of Alaskans. Although I fully support each request in House Bill 39 and House Bill 41, I'm particularly hoping you will fully fund the Division of Behavioral Health Crisis Now Continuum of Care Grants at the amount recommended by Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. I haven't forgotten when my 29-year-old daughter a year ago in December was homeless in Anchorage. She felt unsafe, and afraid of staying at the shelter. She was missing for a long 2 weeks, and when found by the police, brought to the hospital for frostbite on her feet and stabilization. Having mobile crisis teams in communities such as Anchorage, Fairbanks, Mattsu, and Juneau would be providing a real needed safety net for at-risk Alaskans.
Thank you so much.
We have decided to fund such needed services for our most vulnerable populations in Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in. I do appreciate your public testimony. I see no questions for the committee, but thank you so very much. Next up, we have Bill Burr, the superintendent of the Wrangell Public Schools, followed by Scott McManus from the Alaska Gateway School District. Mr. Burr, if you would, please put your name on the record and begin your 2-minute public testimony.
Thank you. Chair Johnson and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bill Burr, and I'm the superintendent of the Wrangell Public Schools. I'd like to thank the House Finance Committee for granting our community the opportunity to testify on the state's operating budget, specifically the effect that the operating budget has on the educational opportunities for our students in Wrangell and the state at large. Wrangell Public Schools has been impacted by economic losses for over a decade, from the loss of the timber industry and changing in fishing regulations and fishing seasons to the substantial reductions in the Alaska Marine Highway Ferry System in the southeast. With inflation and costs increasing, public education has continued statically. When the COVID pandemic came in the spring of 2020, it was expected that Wrangell would have 308 students in the fall of 2020. Instead, we had the highest percentage drop with student count of 170 students. This allowed us to use Hold Harmless, but that runs out in the next school year. We have re-examined all aspects of our budget and eliminated positions or moved positions to ESSER funding. As classes became larger and our class offerings decreased, the opportunities became limited. Why does it affect the operating budget? Public costs are the one resource that we can't deplete. So public education costs are absolutely important to the school districts in Alaska, as well as even the reduction in the ferry system that changes a sports trip to 5 to 6 times higher as we're flying students, which cuts back on the number of trips that we can take. We've asked the borough for maximum contributions. We've cut staff, we've cut classes, and we've gone from a reserve, a grant increased reserve of 22% to FY24 expected 3.75.
Thank you so much. Would you please begin to wrap up?
I need the public outreach to meet our students and the operating budget. Please support a BSA increase to a sustainable amount and return our transportation back to a level that allows the Southeast to operate and be part of the ferry system. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in. And seeing no questions from the committee, we next have Scott McManus from the Alaska Gateway School District from Polk, and he will be followed by Cindy Mika, Superintendent of the Kodiak School in the Superintendent of the Kodiak School District. Scott McManus, would you please put your name on the record and begin your 2-minute public testimony?
Yeah, good afternoon, Chair Johnson and members of the House Finance Committee. My name is Scott McManus, and I'm the superintendent of Alaska Gateway School District, and I would like to speak in support of protecting Alaska schools by increasing the BSA and inflation-proofing our costs of operations. Since the last real increase in the BSA in FY17, our audited costs of maintenance have gone up by over 15%, and that is only because we are deferring those costs and putting them onto the future. Workers' comp has gone up 50%. Liability insurance has gone up 61%. Cost of electricity is down 45%. We've been able to bring our fuel costs down by going through some serious efficiency measures and our health costs. This is our single largest expense after salaries have gone up by 29% at audited numbers in FY22, and we are told they're going to go up by another 20% this year. We are a district who runs very heavily on competitive grants. This is not a long-term solution, but right now for us, it's the only solution. Our foundation funding in the BSA comes in for us at just about $9 million a year, but our total budget is $18 million. So we are doing that other half on with grants. The legislature wants our schools to be accountable, and so do we. I was in Juneau just a few weeks ago, and I heard a lot about so-called administrative bloat. Speaking to that, my district's audit numbers are about 4% of our costs are administrative. And I heard about what the legislators wanted us to do to make our schools more accountable. So I started making a list of the things that my district does to be accountable. The list is pages long. Just this year, we were audited for TERS and PERS. We were audited for our food service program. We had our regular financial audit. We were audited for our maintenance program. We're getting ready to be audited for our ESSER program. So every time the legislature wants to increase accountability, they automatically increase administrative costs. So we have less ability to really focus on where the rubber hits the road, which is on our students.
Thank you so much. Would you please begin to wrap up? All right, thank you for calling in. We do have a question from Representative Plonk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank Scott for pointing out all the very important details that you let us hear about. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. We have two more persons online before we finish up this first, our first public testimony. And we have, next up, we have Cindy Mika, the superintendent of Kodiak School District, and she will be followed by Michael Robbins, the superintendent of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District. So, Cindy, if you would like to please put your name on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Yes, thank you, Chair Johnson. This is Cindy Mika. I am the superintendent of schools for Kodiak Island Borough School District. I'm also the proud parent of a Kodiak High School student, and I'm speaking today in support of an operating budget that fully funds public education. The public education budget today has been flat funded with only a $30 increase since 2016. Continued flat funding coupled with a 40-year high in inflation has led to historic costs for the district. And we are currently facing a $4.4 million budget deficit. There's no more fat for us to trim in Kodiak. We've already cut our supplies and other monies that don't affect staffing as much as we can in the previous years. And so right now we are currently having to look at how do we reduce staffing, which unfortunately is leading to increased class sizes and reduce programs and learning opportunities for our students. This, coupled with the requirements of the READS Act, our current operating budget is not adequate to support the successful implementation. I am 100% in agreement that third grade students have to reach a reading level proficiency, and it is a priority of ours. But in order to do that, we need full funding that is inflation-proofed, which means that we have to inflation-proof the base student allotment. Additionally, we need our full funding transportation. With the reduction in the ferries, this means that in order to leave Kodiak for any reason, students or staff, that we have to fly out for all activities, which is increasing our budget. I really thank you for the opportunity to speak for you today and also your efforts on behalf of our Alaskan students, and am ready and willing to do whatever we have to do here in Kodiak to ensure that all of our students have the opportunities to receive an outstanding education. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for your call today and your public testimony. I do not see any additional questions from the committee. So next up, we have Michael Robbins, who is the superintendent for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District. Mr. Robbins, if you would, please put your name on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you very much, Chair Johnson. I appreciate it. This is Michael Robbins. I'm the superintendent representing the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District, and I just want to thank the House Finance Committee for hearing our testimony today. Stable, predictable funding is necessary to ensure districts can attract and retain high-quality educators. The base student allocation has only been increased $30 since 2016, and the impact of inflation during that time has created a significant loss of purchasing power for school districts. In the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District, we have seen the impact of insufficient funding. Reduction of 48.50 positions from our general operating budget for next fiscal year in all areas, including 20 teaching positions. Retention of younger teachers will be dramatically decreased, and we are losing the future of Alaska educators and families. Larger class sizes in all grades, reduction in school administrators who support teachers in the classroom, and recruiting of teachers becoming more difficult in high-needs areas with the uncertainty of budgets from year to year. Also, the implementation of the READS Act and supporting our teachers during that implementation. Reliable funding is key to improving student outcomes by stabilizing schools and reducing educator turnover. Please consider increasing as well as inflation-proofing the BSA to ensure Alaska schools can continue to serve students with the quality education they deserve. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling in. And we do have a comment from or question from Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Superintendent Robbins, for taking the time, making the effort to call in today on behalf of the students of Ketchikan. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That was our last public testifier for this segment of public testimony. We will be coming back this evening. For public testimony scheduled from 5 to 8 p.m. on the HB 39, the operating budget, HB 41 for the mental health budget. We will have Juno off nets. If you will, please sign in or call 30 minutes prior to the end of the allotted time or testimony will close early. All off-net callers, please hang up immediately after testifying. Keep lines open. And you will be able to continue access these meetings through akledge.gov. And we will be receiving written testimony at House Finance, house.finance. At akledge.gov. Emails will be accepted through 5 p.m. Thursday, March 23. So we, with no additional testifiers at this time, we will be recessing. We will stand at recess until 5 p.m.